is bigger than you think. He's also bigger than you can think. Let's talk about it on this edition of Key Life.
Hello, this is Mike Keller. You are now listening to Key Life, where the Bible becomes relevant to your daily life. If you have a Bible, get it. And here is our teacher, Steve Brown.
Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, open it to the book of Ezekiel, one of my favorite prophets. And we're spending 2 or 3 weeks in this book, giving you some handles that you can use in your own study of the book of Ezekiel. And I do expect that you will study the book of Ezekiel. If you've been listening this week as we've talked about this book, we've put it in its context. We've said that it was written probably all of it from Babylon by Ezekiel himself, the prophet. I gave you an outline. And we're looking at some general considerations that will help you when you read the book. And the first thing we saw is how the first chapters, are you starting at 4 through 24, Ezekiel afflicts the comfortable. And in chapters 25 through 48, Ezekiel comforts the afflicted. We saw how God does that in our lives. And we saw how the worst thing, you are headed for trouble if you're arrogant. Anybody who is arrogant in the face of God is crazy. Because that's just not cool, man. But if you're humble before God, if you have a broken heart before him, he never blows out a flickering candle. He never breaks a bruised reed. He's God, and he comforts, because grace always runs downhill. And we saw the implications of that for godly and biblical and Christian parenting. And then we saw how that applies to pastoral leadership in the pulpit. But enough about that. Let me give you some points that you need to know as you look at this. First thing I want you to note about the book of Ezekiel from the first chapter is the strength and the power of the vision of Ezekiel. If you've got your Bible open, just open it and let's start right at the first chapter and read some. I'm not going to read all of this. This is very long, but it's really, when you read it, it kind of like reading science fiction. If you've ever read the book by Van Auken, or if you have that book, burn it. But in the book, he makes the case that some of this that I'm reading to you is a reference to flying saucers or UFOs in the Bible. Now, that's silly. Well, maybe not. I mean, no, it is. It really is silly. But Eric and Tim, who are big Star Wars fans, and if you could see through the window I look through to look at these guys' faces when I do this broadcast, you would see all kinds of Star Wars figures all over the control room. These guys, you know, are big into that, and they hope that this thing I'm going to read you really is about UFOs and Star Wars people who came and revealed themselves to Ezekiel. But it doesn't, so deal with it, guys. At any rate, this is a magnificent vision. Listen to this. Now, it came to pass in the 13th year, or 30th year, in the 4th month, on the 5th day of the month, I was among the captives by the river Chebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. On the 5th day of the month, which was the 5th year of King Jehoiachin's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar, and the hand of the Lord was upon him here. Now listen to this. Then I looked, and behold, a whirlwind was coming out of the north, a great cloud with raging fire engulfing itself, and brightness was all around it, and radiating out of its midst like the color of amber out of the midst of the fire. And from within it came the likeness of 4 living creatures, and this was their appearance, and they had the likeness of a man. Each one had 4 faces, and each one had 4 wings. Their legs were straight, and the soles of their feet were like the soles of calves' feet. They sparkle like the color of burnished bronze. They had the hands of a man under their wings and on their 4 sides, and each of the 4 had faces and wings. Their wings touched one another. The creatures did not turn when they went, but each one went straight forward, As for the likeness of their faces, each had a face of a man. Each of the four had the face of a lion on the right side, and each of the four had the face of an ox on the left side, and each of the four had a face of an eagle. Thus were their faces, their wings were stretched upward, and it goes on and on and on. You ought to read that. And then in your mind's eye and with your imagination, now we're going to talk more about this tomorrow, but in your imagination, think of something so awesome and so big and so magnificent and so amazing that you can hardly stand it. That's what God does. Problem with most of us is that we believe in a little God, so we have little visions, and God does little nice things for us. And what we need is the people of God to see how awesome God really is. To say, Lord, with Ezekiel, could I really think of and see the reality of who you are? A good thing to do is sometimes pray through the attributes of God. Sometimes to just sit and think about God, who is beyond our comprehension. To think about how big the ocean is and how little our little boat is. To think about God, awesome, sovereign, ruler of all that is. And once you got that straight, you can ask Him for almost anything. No limit. You think about that. Amen. Well, on Wednesdays, I try to answer some questions. My pastor, Pete, will be in on Friday, and we'll answer some questions together, and he'll straighten out any heresy that I have proclaimed on this particular broadcast. We love to get your questions, by the way, but you do have to write them down. You can send them to Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794, or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5M3, or you can email your questions to steve@keylife.org, but be sure and give us your regular mailing address if you want an answer. You always get an answer from me or a staff member on the broadcast or in the magazine, and we love to get your questions. We really do. And don't use the 1-800-KEY-LIFE number for questions. You can make a contribution or order the booklet that we're offering this month of the magazine, or become a part of Key Life Tapes, but you got to write your questions down. Just a couple of things. First, be sure and always, when you write or call, give us the call letters of this great station. And then secondly, we do have a website. I wish you'd check it out. It's www.keylife.org. You can learn about Key Life. You can listen to today's broadcast and the previous 30 that are archived there. And a lot of neat stuff to get you and those you love home with freedom and joy and faithfulness to Christ as your crowning achievement. All right, two of the questions. Ontario, Canada, a listener writes and says, if we are a new creation in Christ, why do we as Christians continue to sin? I don't know. I don't know why I do. You know, I'm an old guy now. I look back over my life and I think, you know, God has been so faithful and good to me. I really am a new creation. Jesus loves me. He's never angry with me. He's quite fond of me, and you too. I look at the places in my life where He's intervened, arranged circumstances. I look at His goodness and His kindness and His grace. And you would think, given all that He's done for me, you ought to see my wife. She's beautiful. All that God has done for me, you would think that I would never sin again, that I would always be obedient, that I'd do everything that He said, that I'd be pure and perfect and absolutely, totally sanctified and holy. For those of you who don't know me, I am all that. For those of you who just said He's lying, I want you to know, I don't know why I sin. I really don't. Did I tell you about our granddaughter, Christy? The time she, I think I told you, she was putting the clothes on Madeline, who's the Barbie's ugly sister. And then she, and her daddy said, Jim said, now, honey, be patient. She threw the doll at him. And then she threw a beanbag chair at him. And I'm sitting on the side. When you're the grandfather, you don't have to mess with this kind of stuff. When you're the grandfather, you just sort of say, this ain't mine. This is yours. I've been through my stuff with your wife. I don't have to do this anymore. And then she picked up another beanbag, chair, and threw it at him. And I thought to myself quietly, I don't believe I'd have done that. And he picked up Christy and carried her on his shoulder into her timeout time. She was going to be in timeout till Jesus came back. Put her in a chair and said, if you breathe, if you move, you're in trouble. And she's muttering, I don't like you very much. When this is over, I'm going up to my room, and I'm never going to speak to you again. And Jim's thinking, that's cool. That's okay. That's fine. And so we went in and started watching a football game in a family room. And then I noticed after a very long time, Christy's peeping around the door. She comes walking over to her daddy, and she crawls up in his lap. Tears are streaming down her face, and she says, oh, Daddy, I don't know why I do stuff like that. I love you. And he said, honey, I love you, too. And they hugged each other, and I thought, whoa, that's the way God does, because God's that way with us. I don't know. There's just something in us that hasn't been fully worked out by the new creation. Before, we were sinners who sinned because we wanted to sin. Now we are saints who still struggle with it. But we're better than we were, and someday we're going to be just like him. Let me see if I got time for one more. Are my loved ones in heaven a part of the cloud of witnesses? If so, do they look down from heaven and observe what we are doing from time to time? Is it wrong to talk to a loved one who has died? Not with mediums, of course, but just venting one's feelings. I don't think you ought to do that. And if they start talking back, you need some therapy. Well, I guess God can do whatever he wants to do. I think maybe you can't take the scripture further than it goes. And the cloud of witnesses referred to in Hebrews 12 is referring to the people to whom the writer of Hebrews is referring in Hebrews 11. And so you got to be just a bit careful with that. Do our relatives and friends and loved ones see us? I don't know. I just don't know. I mean, the scripture doesn't speak to that issue directly. I don't think you ought to go around talking to them. I don't think that makes God angry. But it's probably to recognize that there is this chasm and that it's settled until you get home, too. Hey, guys, I got to go. Be sure and give us the call letters of this great station. One other thing before I'm history. Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.